Evan shut the door behind him and leaned against it. He was glad to finally be alone. He walked around the apartment slowly, trying to focus his thoughts. The television was still on, but the sound was turned off. He looked at the couch where the private investigator had been sitting. The indentation of his body was still visible. He still had half an hour before he was supposed to meet with Drake, but he wanted to know what the PI had brought to him. Where was it? Evans had moved in every direction of the compass, and each time the man had indicated with his fingertips that it was the wrong direction. Which meant what? He hadn't brought the thing? It was somewhere else? Or that whoever paralyzed him had taken it, so it was no longer there? Evans sighed. The critical question, is it here, was one he hadn't asked the detective. Evans just assumed it was there. And suppose it was. Where would it be? North, south, east, west, all wrong. Which meant, what? He shook his head. He was having trouble concentrating. The truth was, the PI's paralysis had unnerved him more than he wanted to admit. He looked at the couch and the indentation. The guy couldn't move. It must have been terrifying. And the paramedics had lifted him up bodily like a sack of potatoes and put him on the stretcher. The cushions on the couch were in disarray, a reminder of their efforts. Idly, Evans straightened up the couch, putting the cushions in place, fluffing them. He felt something. Inside a slit in one cushion. He stuck his hand deeper into the padding. "Damn," he said. Of course, it was obvious in retrospect. Moving away in every direction was wrong, because the PI wanted Evans to move toward him. The PI was sitting on the thing, which he had slipped inside the couch cushion. It turned out to be a shiny DVD. Evans dropped it in the DVD player and watched as a menu came up, a list of dates. They were all in the last few weeks. Evans clicked on the first date. He saw a view of the NERF conference room. It was a side angle from the corner of the room, waist high. It must have been from a camera hidden in the speaker's podium or something, Evans thought. Undoubtedly, the PI had installed the camera the day Evans had seen him in the NERF conference room. At the bottom of the screen was a running time code, numbers flickering. But Evans stared at the image itself, which showed Nicholas Drake talking to John Henley, the PR guy. Drake was upset, throwing up his hands. "I hate global warming," Drake said, almost shouting. "I fucking hate it. It's a goddamn disaster." "It's been established," Henley said calmly. "Over many years, it's what we have to work with."
"To work with? But it doesn't work," Drake said. "That's my point. You can't raise a dime with it, especially in winter. Every time it snows, people forget all about global warming, or else they decide some warming might be a good thing after all. They're trudging through the snow, hoping for a little global warming. It's not like pollution, John. Pollution worked. It still works. Pollution scares the shit out of people. You tell them they'll get cancer, and the money rolls in. But nobody is scared of a little warming, especially if it won't happen for 100 years.
"You have ways to play it," Henley said.
"Not anymore," Drake said. "We've tried them all. Species extinction from global warming." "Nobody gives a shit. They've heard that most of the species that will become extinct are insects. You can't raise money on insect extinctions, John. Exotic diseases from global warming? Nobody cares. Hasn't happened. We ran that huge campaign last year connecting global warming to the Ebola and Hanta viruses. Nobody went for it. Sea level rise from global warming? We all know where that'll end up. The Vanuatu lawsuit is a fucking disaster. Everybody will assume the sea level isn't rising anywhere. And that Scandinavian guy, that sea level expert, he's become a pest. He's even attacking the IPCC for incompetence.
Yes, Henley said patiently. That's all true.
So you tell me, Drake said, how the hell I'm supposed to play global warming? Because you know what I have to raise to keep this organization going, John. I need $42 million a year. The foundations will only give me a quarter of that this year. The celebrities show up at the fundraisers, but they don't give a shit. They're so egotistical they think showing up should be payment enough. Of course, we sue the EPA every year, and they may cough up $3-4 million. With EPA grants, maybe five total. That still leaves a big gap, John. Global warming isn't going to cut it. I need a fucking cause, a cause that works.
I understand, Henley said, still very calm. But you are forgetting the conference.
Oh, Christ, the conference, Drake said. These assholes can't even get the posters right. Bendix is our best speaker. He's got a family problem. Wife is having chemo. Gordon was scheduled, but he's got some lawsuit about his research. Seems his notebooks were faked.
Those are details, Nicholas, Henley said. I'm asking you to stay with the big picture.
At that moment, the phone rang. Drake answered it, listened briefly. Then he put his hand over the phone and turned to Henley. We have to continue this later, John. I've got an emergency here.
Henley got up and left the room. The clip ended. The screen went blank.
Evan stared at the blank screen. He felt as if he were going to be ill. A wave of dizziness passed over him. His stomach churned. He held the remote in his hand, but he did not press the buttons. The moment passed. He took a breath. On reflection, he realized that what he had seen wasn't really surprising. Perhaps Drake was more explicit in private. Everyone was. And, obviously, he felt under pressure to raise money. But the frustration he expressed was perfectly understandable. From the beginning, the movement had had to fight apathy in the broader society. Human beings didn't think in the long term. They didn't see the slow degradation of the environment. It had always been an uphill battle to rouse the public to do what was really in its own best interest. That fight was far from over. In fact, it was just beginning. And it was probably true that it wasn't easy to raise money for global warming. So Nicholas Drake had his work cut out for him. And environmental organizations were really working with very small funds. $44 million for NERF, the same for the NRDC, maybe 50 for the Sierra Club. The big one was the Nature Conservancy. They had $750 million. But what was that compared with the zillions of dollars that could be mobilized by corporations? It was David and Goliath. And Drake was David, as he had said himself on every occasion. Evans glanced at his watch. In any case, it was time to go see Drake. He took the DVD out of the player, slipped it into his pocket, and left the apartment. On his way, he reviewed what he was going to say. He went over it again and again, trying to make it perfect. He had to do it carefully, because everything Kenner had told him to say was a lie.